The interrelated murders of gay entrepreneurs, many were aghast. The series ran for several issues of The Village Voice, then suddenly ceased. Some months later, I got up the nerve to ask the older, more established Bell why he had stopped publishing what seemed to me to be the expose of the year. He replied, "I was told that if I did any more, my life would be in danger." Bell went on to say he wasn't brave, wasn't an investigative reporter, more of a gushing fan and gossip columnist. He'd done the articles only because he'd politicked for more gay coverage in the Weekly for so long that when the story arose, he'd been forced to. He'd never had any intention of finding out who was responsible, never mind putting his life in danger. There was no such thing as a gay novel in 1977, when I set out to write The Lure. A year later, Andrew Holleran's Dancer from the Dance would be published to acclaim and go into multiple printings. At the time, there were certainly homosexual novels around, some quite good, a few bestsellers. Two of the most notable, John Rishi's 1963 City of Night and Christopher Isherwood's Single Man, published the next year, with stories set only 5 miles apart in Los Angeles, seemed to inhabit utterly individual, utterly unconnected universes. I knew there were comprehensive gay communities. I lived in one, Greenwich Village. I regularly visited others, Chicago's Near North, San Francisco's Castro Street, and Los Angeles's West Hollywood. Cheesy paperbacks sold in gay area shops detailed this community, tying together chairmen of the board and hustlers, lesbian ad execs and dyke Air Force sergeants, homo bus drivers, teachers, farmers, auto repairmen, journalists, white-collar workers, and truckers. Where was the literature about this community? One of my goals in writing The Lure was to begin to detail a section of the gay community as I knew it, sort of the way Balzac detailed piece by piece much of early 19th century French society. However, I faced one immediate problem. I didn't really know the underground, after-hours, club and bar sector of gay village Chelsea life I intended to write about. Life, luckily, came to my rescue. A friend of mine, Bob Lowe, had gone to work in the Cock Ring, a new gay bar on Christopher Street. A small bar with a little dance floor, in the next 2 years, it became the public gay hangout in Manhattan. Because he was gorgeous, smart, and friendly, Bob soon became the popular head bartender, and soon I was meeting him after 4 a.m., and we'd be off to private clubs or people's lofts and flats for after-hour parties. As Bob and I circulated New York's gay underworld, I accumulated data about that world. I soon felt I had a solid enough foundation to write the book. By then, Bob had decided to go to law school, partly because we awoke one morning to horrific news. Hell, a gay bar 3 blocks away, had been the scene of an early morning armed attack and the execution murder of 4 staff members. The manager was hospitalized with a bullet in his brain. We knew all of them, and Bob was supposed to have been working with them that night. It was made to look like a robbery. But when he regained consciousness, the manager intimated to Bob that it was actually a hit by some other group of bar owners. Who exactly was never made clear. My ex-lover, Bob Heron, was head of the nearby Jane Street Block Association at the time of the Hell murders. He told me of the hush-hush New York police undercover unit assigned to the West Village since the killings Arthur Bell had written about, and provided me with info about the undercover unit's doings. Shortly afterward, a telephone repairman I used to have occasional matinees with added info about open telephone lines called loops and how the system was utilized by the NYPD and others in less official capacities. I'd also begun...